We do just have so much to be thankful for, don't we? If we'd gone round everybody, I'm sure everybody would have found something that they're grateful for and that they want to say thank you for. And so we come to this Harvest Festival, a service of celebration and thanksgiving. And that word celebration, I think you're going to hear it quite a bit today, for we have so much to celebrate. It's part of who we are to celebrate. Just think of all the things that we celebrate. We celebrate birthdays, we celebrate festivals like Easter and Christmas and Harvest. We celebrate special occasions, we celebrate achievement. And we celebrate when our team is the one that wins. Lots of celebration. I could mention so much more, because it simply is part of who we are to celebrate. Celebration is actually good for us. Did you know that? It's actually good for us. God, who created us, knows our needs. And throughout his word, there is a thread of celebration, of feasts and celebration. In the Old Testament, we hear of many occasions when the people were called to keep the feast, to celebrate. It's what God desires. He knows it's good for us, and it brings honor to him. And the psalm you heard read, Psalm 100, well, it kind of points the way to meaningful celebration. It helps us to think of how we celebrate. We come to worship God. As we celebrate, as the people of God, we come to worship. There's an invitation in that psalm. There's a call, even a command, come. Come and worship. And so there's the call there. Come, come and worship. Come and give praise and thanks to God. We come to worship God. Worshipping God is an acknowledgement of who God is. We come to God quite simply for who he is when we worship. It means acknowledging who God is. It means acknowledging his power and all that he is to us and to the whole world. We acknowledge that when we come to worship and we see just how great he is. But worship also includes an understanding and a sense of awe at his holiness. Yes, God loves us way beyond what we can understand or fully take in. His love is just so great. But he's a holy God, and so we don't come casually into his presence. We remember, yes, God is loving, but we remember too that he is holy. When we worship, we recognize God as creator, as savior, and as king. Those things together. As creator, as savior, as king. Worship in the two verses of Psalm 100, actually, they speak of wholehearted worship. There's joy. There's a bubbling over with it. Bubbles up and flows out. Come with joyful songs. Sing to the Lord with joy. It's amazing. And it really just flows through us. Although it's true that worship is so much more than sung worship, in this psalm it calls the community of God's people to come together and sing songs of worship, to give him our worship and our praise. And then we can know God. It's incredible, isn't it, that we can actually not just know about God, but we can actually know God, the amazing creator. You know, I look at things like a very starry night, a wonderful sunset, and I think, wow, the God who made those loves me, and I can know him in a very special way. He's made himself known to us through Jesus. And it's through Jesus that we can really have that relationship with God. It's because of Jesus. As verse 3 says, we are his. In Psalm 100, verse 3, we are his. We belong. We belong to God. As the people of God, each one of us is precious and we actually belong. It speaks of the sheep of his pasture. Now that brings to my mind Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. And it speaks of God's loving care and his provision for us. And this harvest we particularly acknowledge his provision. He really cares for us. But it also, as well as saying the sheep of his pasture and that we lie down in green pastures, sounds idyllic, doesn't it? Just resting there and enjoying God's presence. But it also speaks of walking through the valley of the shadow of difficult situations. It speaks of the struggles that we can face. I spoke earlier about there being joy in our worship, but let's face it, we don't always feel joy, do we? Life's tough, very tough at times. And yet, it is possible to hold two things together. The deep down joy of the Lord, and yet at the same time, the hurting and the struggling and the sadness that we face. And I've certainly found that to be true in the last year or two. We can hold them together. We know deep down that we're held by God and can know his joy, and yet the hurt and the struggling is still there. But sometimes things just pile in, one on top of the other, and it gets too much. We're really completely overwhelmed. And then where's the joy? And we feel that we have lost it. There's no joy if we do come into church. We perhaps don't join in with anything. We're just so overwhelmed and find it very difficult to celebrate or to worship in any sense. And I think that's where a worshiping, caring community comes in. We may come into church feeling like that. We may be quiet. We may not join in. We may creep in and creep back out. But when we are surrounded by a worshiping, caring community, the Holy Spirit is there and the Holy Spirit ministers to us. We may not realize that straight away. It's with hindsight that we recognize what happens, and God does restore our joy and wants to do that. We come, particularly at harvest, with thanksgiving. We thank God. We thank God for so many things. Verse 4 of our psalm says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, and his courts with praise. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. The gate, the people would understand the gate as the way in to the tabernacle. And then in later years, the way in to the temple. There's a double invitation here, isn't there? An invitation to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Come on in. Don't stay out in the cold. There's an invitation to come to God. A wonderful invitation to come in praise and thanksgiving. In the Old Testament, the people of God had limited access to God. Very limited access. They had to perform certain rituals and so on. But we have complete access to God because of Jesus. We come for what Jesus has done for us. We can come right into his presence. It's amazing, isn't it, that we can indeed come. And in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, it says that we can approach God's throne with confidence. We are to come boldly. Again, come right in. God welcomes us in and indeed meets our needs. The call to enter his gates and his courts with praise is to God's people. That word again, to come together in celebration. We're called to come with thanksgiving and praise. From a very early age, we actually teach our children, don't we? Say thank you. Or we say to them, what do you say? Very early on, we put that into our children. Cultivating an attitude of thanksgiving is very powerful. It is, of course, much more than just saying the words. It's a genuine thankfulness from the heart that's expressed to God and to other people. The real heartfelt thank you, not just going through the motions. We truly do have an amazing God. A God that we worship God, we can know God, and we thank God. He is truly amazing. Wow, is all I can say to that song. God is truly amazing. And we struggle to find words to express that, don't we? Because God is just simply so great. Those words we've just sung lead me to think about the final verse of Psalm 100, where it says, "The Lord is good, his love is eternal, and his faithfulness lasts forever." God is good. It's his very being. He is total goodness. Just as God is love, God is good. There's no hint of badness, no evil at all. Complete, pure goodness. God is love. His love is eternal. It's there for us all the time. It never ceases. And his faithfulness lasts forever. In a way, we wouldn't be here if that wasn't true, that his faithfulness lasts forever. As people have experienced God's faithfulness and then passed it on to the next generation. And we hear of God's faithfulness and pass it on to the next generation and so on. The Lord is good and his love is eternal. His faithfulness lasts forever. The tapestry in our lounge there speaks of Jesus the same yesterday, today, and forever, and reminds us of the faithfulness of God. but I can't leave it there. True worship leads to action. If we are really worshiping God, then it leads to action. If we don't, doesn't lead to action, it's just like going through the motions. The prophet Micah reminds us what God requires of us: to act justly, love mercy, and walk with God. Act justly, love mercy, and walk with God. To act is a call, obviously, to do something. We act and we do something. I bet you've heard it said, it's not fair. Often from children, but we think it ourselves, don't we? It's not fair. We have an innate sense of justice, and we're called to act justly. To do the right thing. To be fair to other people. Not just grabbing for ourselves. We're to act justly in all our relationships and in our everyday situations. But also, we can act justly by looking for ways to support those who are working for justice, peace, and freedom. Many opportunities for us to support those people. Things that we can't actually do, but we can give our support. And then we're to love. Love what? It says love mercy. The meaning in Hebrew is hesed, which speaks of God's loving kindness. And in fact, in some versions of the Bible, it actually says love kindness. Although hesed is more than just that. Like many of these Hebrew words, it carries a wealth of meaning. But we can understand what it means to love with kindness, to love kindness. Be kind and caring and thoughtful, looking to the needs of others. It also involves being ready to forgive. For we all get it wrong, do and say things that we wish we hadn't. And there's the call there to forgive one another. Be ready to forgive. We need to forgive and to receive forgiveness. Paul's letter to the Ephesians says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ, God forgave you. He is a key to acting with kindness. Again, the things we do and the things we say. And then we're to walk. The little word that I didn't put in on the earlier slide is walk humbly with your God. Be with God. Acknowledge him for who he is. Taking time to be with God, taking time to listen to him, relying on God. You know, sometimes when we've got a problem, we try every which way to sort it out, and it just seems to get worse. And finally, we ask God for help. Should be the other way around, but we all do it from sometimes and try and sort things out ourselves. Rely on God. Remember God in all you do. Stay close to him. Walk humbly with God. The Message puts it like this. It's quite simple. Do what is fair and just to your neighbour. Be compassionate and kind in your love. Don't take yourself too seriously. take God seriously. A summary in that particular translation, which kind of brings it to life, I think. Don't take yourself too seriously. Take God seriously. I've given just a few pointers. It's for each one of us to prayerfully think how God wants that to work in our own lives, what it means for us and how we will act. But the challenge is there to act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with God. We've come to worship and to give thanks. But the thing I missed out on that last verse of verse 5 of, is a little word, and it's the word for. And it ties the previous verses in. If we could have the next slide. For the Lord. It's because of who God is and what we do. It's because we know what God is like. Would you join with me in the words in yellow? We celebrate with thanksgiving, for the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. What a truly amazing God we have that we can truly celebrate today.